Hi, and welcome to our study of the Psalms. I don't think there is any portion of the Scriptures that has enlightened my mind and inflamed my heart more than the Psalms. I am drawn to the Psalms, praying through the Psalms, and constantly discovering how the full range of human experience and emotion are captured by the Psalms. The Psalms have taught me more about worship, more about prayer, and even more about God. No portion of Scripture embodies the fullness of the nature and character of God than the Psalms. As we study them together, I trust that your love for God, who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, will be inflamed just as mine has. May God bless you in our study of the Psalms. Welcome to Searching the Psalms, and today we're going to explore together Psalm 56. We are in the second book of the Psalter and in a section where there are a series of Psalms of David. And a number of those Psalms have inscriptions. That indicates sort of the context through which David was able to compose a particular Psalm. So in this particular case, it says to the choir master, according to the dove on far off terebinths. That would be a tune title of some kind. A miktam of David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Now, you might remember that when David was on the run from Saul, because of what Jonathan had told him, he took off really without any kind of supplies or food, and he ended up going to Nob, and the priest of Nob provided some food and also the sword of Goliath. That was the only sword that he had, and then he sent him on his way. You also might remember that Doeg, the Edomite, was there and saw what the priests had done for him, and eventually, over a period of time, then Doeg actually betrayed David to Saul and told him this is what happened, and that ended up Saul going to Nob with his army and then being angry with the priests, and Doeg actually did what Saul wanted him to do, was to kill not only Ahimelech the priest, but also all of the other priests in Nob. He killed 85 of them, except one who escaped and went to tell David. So you might remember that. That was the occasion for Psalm 52, for instance, when David composed that, when he learned that he had been betrayed by Doeg. Well, in this particular case, David has left Nob, and he's on the run in the wilderness, and one of the places that he had gone by himself was to Gath, and he connected with the king of Gath, and he shows up there, and he's really awkward in that particular occasion because he sort of hung out to dry on his own. Eventually, he would leave Gath and end up going to the cave of Adullam, where he was able to acquire a number of people who eventually comprised his army. But before then, he was pretty much all alone in Gath. And as a result of that, he finds himself in hot water. He's in the midst of the Philistines. These are Philistines, and they have a history. And obviously, Goliath, their great hero, was from Gath, and David had killed Goliath. And there he shows up with the sword of Goliath all by himself among the people of Gath, and he sort of attaches himself to them. But they really don't like the fact that David is there. And they call attention to that, and they complain to the king of Gath, and it ends up David feigning mental illness so that the king of Gath wants him to get out of there because he's acting like a crazy man, and that's when David sort of escapes. It's during that very difficult and awkward time when David's by himself that he composes this psalm. It's a psalm of lament, but it's also a psalm of lament in which David recognizes that God is one in whom you can have great confidence. So here's how the psalm unfolds. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime they will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. And he says this, "You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." There are two refrains in this song. We're familiar with refrains. They happen quite frequently in many of the hymns that we sing. And there are two refrains that are very similar to each other sort of heighten the drama in this particular psalm. The first one is in verse 4, where it says this, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" And so the expression of confidence in God is the basis of the refrain, and then it's repeated in an extended form in verse 10, which says this, "In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And so David has that confidence in God, and he says, "What can man do to me?" Well, you and I both know man can do a lot. Flesh can do a lot. Flesh can slander us. Flesh can hurt us. Flesh can do violence against us. Flesh can do all kinds of evil and wicked kinds of things. But David also recognizes that God is superior even to all flesh. And no matter what flesh could do to us, they cannot separate us from the love of God. And we know that, for instance, because Paul actually quotes or alludes to a portion of this psalm actually in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. That's the part where it says, "In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus?" is what Paul says. And so he alludes to that. There are a number of other places in the New Testament in which Psalm 56 is quoted. But before we get into that, let's recognize that David is really in a tough spot while he's in Gath. He certainly, first of all, is alone. He's all by himself. I mentioned that before. This is before he had acquired his militia that had gathered around him that enabled him to really defeat his enemies and actually to sustain himself with respect to the pursuit of Saul. And so he's all by himself, but we recognize, first of all, the fury of the attack of his enemies. These people in Gath evidently are extraordinarily angry with him, and they really want to get rid of him. And so he says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly." There are repetitions of words that heighten the anger and the fury of these enemies of God. So first of all, you have the idea of trampling. He says it twice, "For man tramples on me." And then verse 2, "My enemies trample on me." He also uses the word attack twice. He says, "All day long an attacker oppresses me." He says, "Many attack me proudly" in the next verse. And then he also expresses that this is almost a relentless attack on him. He says, "All day long," twice, "all day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long." And so you have these repetitions of words that heighten the intensity of what David is going through. So even though he's alone, we recognize that he is having the fury of this extraordinary attack, this relentlessness of this attack. David was also desperate. He shows up in the very hometown of the great hero whom he had killed with his own sword, with Goliath's sword. And so you got to know that he's desperate in order to show up in Gath in the first place. And so not only is he alone, but he's also desperate, but he's also very much afraid. And that's expressed in this particular psalm. He says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." When you are afraid, do you put your trust in God? That's the message of this particular psalm. That's the essence of what we're trying to understand here. He says, "In God I trust, I shall not be afraid." So this whole issue turns on, are we able to trust God in the midst of our most desperate, alone, fearful circumstances? And David is able to do that. And that's why this unfolds, the psalm unfolds the way it does. He says, all day long, there is that phrase again, they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. So these are people that not only threaten violence, they think about doing violence to him all the time. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps. They're, again, this firestorm of repetition of what they do with him. They're always looking to do something to him. They're lurking in the background. They're watching over his every move. And he says, as they have waited for my life. And so David asked this question, for their crime, will they escape? And then he asks God this. He says, in wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. But then in one of the most tender expressions of confidence in God, David recognizes that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That's a phrase that we find repeated over and over again throughout the Scriptures. It's not in this particular psalm, but the essence of that character of God is expressed beginning in verse 8, where he says, you have kept count of my tossings. That God knows the sufferings that David has gone through. He knows all of David's anxieties that he's been carrying with him through this ordeal when he's on the run from Saul. He says, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God knows all of these things. He's not unaware of your sufferings. He's not unaware of the things that you go through day by day that are hurtful to your spirit and your soul, and maybe that tear at the fabric of your personality. And then he says, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. And that's what he expresses. He has confidence in this because God knows of his sufferings. He knows his tossings. He knows his tears, every single one of them. He knows that when he calls on God, God will respond and care for his needs. And then he says this, this I know, that God is for me. That's what Paul quotes, really, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, when he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And he says, I know God is for me. He's on my side. I'm surrounded by Philistines everywhere who hate me, but God is on my side. He's for me. And then comes this great refrain, which is an expression of confidence in God. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? If you have that kind of trust in God, you can really give God the praise that he deserves under those circumstances. And it's not only God who he trusts, he also trusts in the word of God. He said, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust. And so when God promises something to David, he can take it to the bank and he can be assured that God will fulfill what he has promised. And then we find this expression of confidence in God to conclude the psalm. He says, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. You know, this is one of those occasions in which David thanks God even before he's been delivered, because he has such confidence in God. Can you get yourself to that place of faith in the Lord, and that even in the midst of your troubles, you can thank him in advance for what he's going to do on your behalf? That's the way David is. He says, as if it were past tense, you've delivered my soul from death, yes, and my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Psalm 56 is one that finds echoes throughout the New Testament. He says, I may walk before God in the light of life. You remember that echoes what we find in Jesus, who is the light of the world and the light of life, as we find in the Gospel of John, for instance. So many places we find this kind of confidence in God wonderfully expressed throughout the whole New Testament. And so Psalm 56 is one in which we can praise, particularly when we're in a tough spot. We find ourselves overwhelmed by our circumstances. Maybe we have real enemies, or maybe it's just the enemy of our soul attacking us with our various circumstances. We can still have confidence in God. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's the wonderful expression of confidence that we can have as well as we trust in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us in Searching the Psalms, and thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Andy.